This is Film Bookcast.
Film Bookcast.
Film Bookcast. The official podcast of Film Book. Get ready for the latest in film news, TV show news, and theatrical reviews. Film Book's podcast starts now.
Hello, and welcome to Film Bookcast, the official podcast of Film Book. I'm Kevin Allen. If you're tuning into Film Bookcast for the first time, welcome and thank you. If you've listened before, welcome back and thank you. I'll be talking about film and TV news, including, is film and TV production about to restart in California? Actress Ruby Rose walks away from her starring role in the CW's Batwoman. And the Snyder Cut of the Justice League movie is real, and it's coming to HBO Max. I also have a review of the movie Inheritance. Lily Collins and Simon Pegg star in a Von Stein-directed thriller that's not that thrilling. You can find more Film Book podcasts on film-book.com by using the search term Film Bookcast. You can also email us at podcast@film-book.com with Film Bookcast in the subject line. Let's get to movie news. Will movie and TV production be allowed to restart in California in the coming days? That's the question on Hollywood's mind as California Governor Gavin Newsom is set to roll out plans that would spur TV and film production back to work. According to Deadline.com, Newsom will announce new guidelines on May 25th. Since Hollywood shut down in mid-March, hundreds of thousands of industry workers have been waiting for guidance on when things can start up again. But with LA County passing the grim milestone of 2,000 coronavirus deaths on Thursday, some fear announcing even a phased plan to restart production is too soon. The 93rd Oscars may not be held in February as currently planned. According to Variety, the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences is considering postponing the awards show. Back in April, new eligibility rules were announced due to the COVID-19 crisis. Under normal circumstances, a film must have a 7-day theatrical release in a Los Angeles County theater to be eligible for an Oscar. But this year, films released digitally can also qualify if a theatrical release was originally planned. The new rules also say movies can have an Oscar-qualifying theatrical run in either New York, Chicago, Miami, Atlanta, and the Bay Area, instead of just LA. If the Oscars were postponed, it's not clear if that would mean the year-end deadline to qualify for the 2020 Oscars would be extended. Right now, the 93rd Annual Academy Awards are scheduled for February 28th, 2021. Superhero movie fans who've been wondering what Zack Snyder's Justice League movie would have looked like will finally get their wish. HBO Max will release the so-called Snyder Cut of the Justice League in 2021. Here's the backstory. The 2017 film Justice League, featuring the biggest superheroes in the DC Comics universe, was originally to be directed by Zack Snyder, who directed Batman vs. Superman and 300. Then, after a family tragedy struck, Warner Brothers announced that Snyder was leaving the film. Josh Whedon of The Avengers, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and much more, stepped in to finish the movie, and many felt the resulting film looked very much like a mashup of the two directors' styles. By the end of 2017, rumors had started to swirl about a Zack Snyder version of the movie that was much darker. That's when a flood of social media posts, a Change.org petition, and eventually even Snyder himself started calling for this alternate version to be released. Mission Impossible 7 and 8 have a new villain. Isai Morales has stepped in to play the lead bad guy, reportedly replacing Nicholas Holt. On Thursday, writer and director Christopher McQuarrie revealed via Instagram that Morales had joined the cast. McQuarrie did not officially confirm what role Morales would be playing, but Deadline.com reports Morales is replacing Holt because production delays caused by the coronavirus pandemic have put Holt in conflict with another project. Some of Morales' recent work includes How to Get Away with Murder, Titans, and NCIS Los Angeles. It's not clear if Mission Impossible 7 or 8 will be released on time, but number 7 is currently scheduled to be released on November 19th, 2021. When the Scream movie franchise returns to the big screen, actor David Arquette will be along for the fright-filled ride. Earlier this week, Arquette said he'd be returning as Sheriff Dewey Riley for Scream 5, which is expected to be a reboot of the franchise. Deadline reports production is scheduled to start later this year in North Carolina. The first four Scream films were directed by Wes Craven, who passed away back in 2015. The new film will be directed by Matthew Bettinelli-Open and Tyra Gillette, who worked together on the 2019 thriller comedy Ready or Not. Oscar winner Halle Berry will star in director Roland Emmerich's next sci-fi disaster epic entitled Moonfall. Josh Gad of Frozen fame is also set to star in the movie, which is scheduled to begin filming in Montreal later this year. In the film, Berry and Gad's characters will race to save Earth after a mysterious force knocks the moon from its orbit and sends it hurtling on a collision course with our planet. Berry will play a NASA astronaut turned administrator whose previous space mission holds the clue about the impending disaster. Fans of Berry's work may remember she also played an astronaut in the CBS TV series Extant. The movie world lost some talented, beloved people since the last episode of Film Bookcast. Actor Fred Willard passed away on May 15th. Willard had seen stealing appearances in movies such as This Is Spinal Tap, Waiting for Guffman, Best in Show, and Anchorman. He was also a four-time Emmy nominee for his work on TV for What's Hot, What's Not, Everybody Loves Raymond, Modern Family, and The Bold and the Beautiful. Willard's daughter says he passed away peacefully. An official cause of death has not been released. Fred Willard was 86. Independent filmmaker Lynn Shelton also passed away on May 15th. Shelton directed films such as Little Fires Everywhere, Laggies, and Hump Day. She also worked behind the camera of some popular TV series like Mad Men, Fresh Off the Boat, The Mindy Project, and Glow. Shelton's partner, actor, comedian, and podcast host Marc Maron, spent the entirety of his latest podcast reflecting on her life and replaying his interview of Shelton from August of 2015, which was actually the first time they met. Shelton's publicist says she died of an unidentified blood disorder. Lynn Shelton was 54. Let's turn to movie trailers. We're getting a new look at director Christopher Nolan's new sci-fi flick, Tenet. There's no official synopsis of this film yet, but Robert Pattinson and John David Washington star in what looks to be a mix of espionage and time travel.
It's reversing the flow of time. Doesn't us being here now mean it never happened?
Tenet is scheduled to be released in U.S. theaters. That's right, I said theaters, on July 17th. An interesting side note, the new trailer for Tenet premiered on the big screens within the massively popular Battle Royale video game, Fortnite. Still on the time travel beat, Janelle Monáe plays a modern-day successful author who suddenly finds herself transported back to the pre-Civil War South.
Wherever you were before, that's over.
A new trailer for the thriller Antebellum came out this week. According to Lionsgate, the studio behind the film, Monáe's character is trapped in a horrifying reality and must uncover the mind-bending mystery before it's too late. Writer-directors Gerard Bush and Christopher Renz teamed up to write and direct the movie. It's their first feature film, but the pair have worked on lots of commercials, short films, and music videos together. Antebellum is scheduled to be out in theaters on August 21st. Also from the Badass Heroine file, Charlize Theron stars as an immortal warrior in the upcoming film, The Old Guard.
Let's just say, we're very hard to kill.
Theron plays Andy, the leader of a group of mercenaries who can't be killed and have protected the mortal world for centuries. But when the squad's extraordinary abilities are exposed, it's up to Andy and the team's newest soldier, played by Kiki Layne, to eliminate those who seek to replicate the team's power and monetize it. The Old Guard will be available on Netflix starting on July 10th. What if one of the most ridiculed movies of the last 25 years is actually not a mess, but a masterpiece? That's the question asked in the trailer for the new documentary, You Don't Know Me. Nomi Malone is the name of the main character in the 1995 critically despised film Showgirls, starring Elizabeth Berkley. After the film flopped at the box office, Showgirls slowly but surely grew to become a cult classic.
You never know what's going to become a cult film. For those of us that get it, it can become our religion.
You Don't Know Me traces the film's path to redemption and even includes archived interviews from the Showgirls cast and crew. The documentary will be available on various video on demand services starting June 9th. That's this week's movie trailer roundup. Let's turn to TV news, starting with a big change for the TV series Batwoman. Series star Ruby Rose is leaving Batwoman and her role will be recast. According to Variety, Rose was unhappy with the long hours she had to put in as the star of the show, which led to tension on the set. Reportedly, Rose, the CW, which airs the show, and Warner Brothers Television, which produces the show, all decided it was time for Rose to go. Batwoman was renewed for a second season back in January. The show centers on Kate Kane, the cousin of Bruce Wayne, who assumes the mantle of Batwoman to protect Gotham City. Actress Ruby Rose is a lesbian, and so is the character Kate Kane, and studio executives have already said they'll be looking for someone from the LGBTQ community to be the new Batwoman. My Vilbook colleagues Jason Cook and Rolo Tomasi have some suggestions as to who should wear the cape and cowl next. You can find their picks by going to filmbook.com and searching for Batwoman. The Daytime Emmy Award nominations are out and CBS is leading the way. CBS nabbed 57 nominations, followed closely by Amazon Prime Video with 55. Longtime soap opera favorite General Hospital has more nominations than any other show with 23. There are a few eligibility changes for this year's Daytime Emmys, thanks to the COVID-19 crisis. It's the first year programs considered eligible for a Daytime Award could submit any episode for consideration, even if it aired in primetime, such as Sesame Street specials. This is also the first year the Young Actor and Young Actress categories have been merged into a single gender-neutral Younger Performer Award. Major category winners will be revealed during a two-hour special airing on CBS on Friday, June 26. Other winners will be announced in July. The Last Dance won't be the last documentary series from ESPN. On the heels of the runaway success of its 10-part series on Michael Jordan's final year with the Chicago Bulls, ESPN has announced a new docuseries focused on NFL quarterback Tom Brady. According to The Hollywood Reporter, the 9-episode series, called Man in the Arena, will offer Brady's first-hand accounts of pivotal moments in his career, including all 9 of his Super Bowl appearances with the New England Patriots. Earlier this year, Brady decided to leave the Patriots and signed with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Man in the Arena is set to air sometime next year. Jimmy Kimmel Live is getting a new executive producer. Deadline.com says Jill Lederman is stepping down after 14 years at the helm. Lederman will be succeeded by Sharon Hoffman. Hoffman's a former executive producer of Entertainment Tonight and the weekend edition of CBS Evening News. Hoffman was also part of the team that relaunched CBS's Morning in 2012 and also did a stint at ABC's Good Morning America. Some good news! The digital series hosted by John Krasinski is joining the CBS family. Under the terms of the deal, the show will eventually appear across a number of CBS and Viacom properties. Krasinski, who created the show to spread cheer during the coronavirus lockdown, will no longer host the show, but Deadline says he will be the executive producer. The show first launched on YouTube at the end of March and went on to receive millions of views. Some good news even won a Special Achievement Webby Award earlier this week. The head of Disney Plus will be the next CEO of TikTok. On Monday, Kevin Mayer announced he was leaving Walt Disney to call the shots at the Chinese-owned viral video juggernaut. Mayer's move comes just a few months after he was passed over to become Disney's CEO. The job instead went to Bob Chapek. In addition to becoming TikTok's new chief, Mayer will also become the chief operating officer at TikTok's parent company, ByteDance. Mayer starts his new jobs on June 1st. Actor Timothy Oliphant is joining the ever-expanding cast of The Mandalorian. Slashfilm.com says the former star of Justified will be playing Cobb Vanth, a former slave who becomes a sheriff on a Tatooine settlement called Freetown. And Vanth appears to wear the armor last seen on bounty hunter Boba Fett, who was originally thought to have died in the film Return of the Jedi. But Fett is reportedly alive, and the actor who played him all those years ago will reprise the role in the upcoming season of The Mandalorian. The new season is scheduled to be released on Disney Plus in October. Actor Ken Osman passed away this week. According to the Washington Post, Osman died of complications from chronic obstructive pulmonary disease and peripheral arterial disease. Osman was best known for playing troublemaker Eddie Haskell in the classic TV sitcom Leave It to Beaver. He also made guest appearances on other popular shows such as Happy Days, Petticoat Junction, and The Munsters. After his acting career was over, Osman went on to become a member of the LAPD, serving for 18 years. Ken Osman was 76. Time for a look at some new TV trailers. Netflix's 13 Reasons Why returns for its final season next month. In a newly released trailer, the students of Liberty High are wondering if all their secrets will stay buried.
I think you've been keeping secrets. Are you ready to let those secrets out?
If you're not familiar with the show, it follows Clay Jensen, who's played by Dylan Minnette, who discovers a box of cassette tapes recorded by his classmate and crush who committed suicide. Without going into a ton of spoilers, let's just say Clay has covered up a number of crimes during the course of the show. Netflix says the show's fourth and final season will see the cast forced to make life-changing and heartbreaking decisions about how their past will impact their future. The final season of 13 Reasons Why will be available on June 5th. If you'd rather be watching something a little more fabulous on June 5th, how about a new edition of RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars?
10 fierce queens are back for their redemption.
I'm here to slay and fillet.
VH1 dropped a trailer for the 5th season of the Drag Queen Showdown this week. This time around, instead of having the two top queens lip-sync for their legacies each week, the contestants will square off against past lip-sync assassins. The trailer teases a bunch of celebrity guests, including Jane Krakowski, Tessa Thompson, Sarah Hyland, and Ricky Martin. Once again, All Stars starts its new run on VH1 on June 5th. That's a week after Drag Race Season 12's finale. Actor Steve Carell returns to the small screen this Friday as the fictionalized head of the new United States Space Force.
It has always been my dream
to start something from the ground up.
But space is hard.
Space Force lands on Netflix on May 29th. Carell plays a recently promoted 4-star general tasked with making a militaristic, ill-conceived return to the moon a reality. The trailer is chock full of big names, including John Malkovich and Jane Lynch, so expect lots of star power in this one. The late Fred Willard will appear in the pilot episode as the father of Steve Carell's character. Super producer Chuck Lorre has a new comedy coming to CBS this fall. This week, the industry got its first look at Be Positive, starring Thomas Middleditch and Annalee Ashford. In the trailer, we see Middleditch in search of a kidney donor.
You're saying I need a new kidney?
Start with family. They're usually the best match.
Great, a Republican kidney.
Middleditch runs into a rough-around-the-edges woman from his past, played by Ashford, who volunteers one of her kidneys, and then hijinks ensue. Be Positive is scheduled to air on Thursday nights after Young Sheldon, the spin-off prequel to The Big Bang Theory. That's it for TV trailer time. Now we turn to this week's Movie Review Spotlight. Up to bat this time is Inheritance, starring Lily Collins and Simon Pegg. It's directed by Von Stein. Collins plays Lauren Monroe, the scion of a wealthy family who inherits her father's terrible secret, a man who's been held captive in a bunker for 30 years on the grounds of the Monroe estate. Pegg plays that captive. If the first few moments of the film have you thinking, is this a trailer for the movie or the actual movie? You're probably not alone. The flick opens with a frantically edited montage that reveals the dynamic between Lauren and her father Archer, who's played by Patrick Warburton. Basically, Lauren is Manhattan's district attorney who's out to stand up for her victims, while Archer pushes Lauren to win at all costs, and Archer will seemingly step on anyone's neck to get ahead. The character of Lauren Monroe seems shockingly young to have been elected Manhattan DA. The film says she's under the age of 30, and while this issue is kind of addressed in a throwaway line near the end of the movie, the half explanation is not satisfying. Anyway, the opening montage ends with Archer dying of an apparent heart attack at the wheel of his car. D.A. Monroe learns of her father's death during a press conference and goes to her family's estate to mourn and hear the reading of her dad's will. Said will gives most of Archer's wealth to Lauren's mom, who's played by Connie Nielsen. She does a good job, but has very little to do for most of the film. Lauren's brother William, who's in the middle of a congressional re-election campaign, gets $20 million. William is played by Chase Crawford, who looks the part but is also underutilized. Lauren gets a comparatively paltry $1 million and a mysterious envelope. That envelope points to the bunker where Peg's character has been held for the last 3 decades. Regarding that bunker, there is never any explanation of why that bunker is on the property in the first place. Flashbacks reveal that the bunker was already there when Peg's character is first in prison. If it's supposed to be left over from the days of the Cold War, it's not likely that this bunker's existence would be much of a secret. Anyway, Lily finds a man who calls himself Morgan Warner in the bunker, and she's left to unravel why her father has been holding him captive and whether or not to let him out. If Lily is supposed to be the family do-gooder, it doesn't really make sense that she'd hesitate to release this man, especially as a district attorney. Instead, she spends the next few days interrogating him while blowing off her obligations to her fiancé, their child, and court appearances for what the script suggests could be one of the biggest cases of her career. The man calling himself Warner strings Lauren along with a tale of being a former buddy of her late father who ended up on Archer's bad side following a deadly drunk driving accident. Simon Pegg wears some wild wigs for the role and does fine with his American accent. He's had plenty of practice. But the character comes off as more pitiful and annoyed than genuinely creepy for most of the film. In a possible attempt to swing Pegg's character more towards the Hannibal Lecter side of the scale, he repeatedly recites a recipe for key lime pie. But trust me, fava beans and a nice Chianti, this is not. Warner's story and Lauren's desire to protect her family's legacy slowly turn her into the scheming manipulator that would have made her father proud. But her newfound diabolicalness does not allow her to see that Peg's character has been playing her all along. Most people know how this one ends long before the dialogue-heavy final showdown. In the end, I think the legacy of Inheritance is that of a forgettable thriller. It's available now on various on-demand services, but I suspect the demand for this film will be pretty low. Thank you for listening to this episode of Film Bookcast. You can find more of my work on film-book.com. Just search for Kevin Allen or Film Bookcast. You can also find me on Twitter at KAllenNYC. If you listen to this podcast on iTunes or another podcast service, please rate and review this episode. If you're listening to this podcast on our YouTube channel, Film Book Podcast, please like our video, subscribe to our channel, and leave us a comment in the comment section. It helps other people discover our podcast. Please also consider becoming one of our patrons on Patreon at patreon.com/filmbook. Your support helps us create more engaging content. You'll find our Patreon link below in the description. If you want to tweet about this podcast, use the hashtag FilmBookCast. Tune in next week for another episode of FilmBookCast. Thanks for listening. I'm Kevin Allen. And remember, you're the star of your own movie. Don't be afraid to shine.